All right, here we go.
Great.
Hey there, I'm Nick. I'm in my 20s trying to figure out life and what faith has to do with it. I've got a lot of questions, probably very similar to the ones you've got. But here's the thing. I'm looking for a better answer, and it's difficult to find someone who can help. So I'm bringing on Kyle, a mentor of mine, who's going to help me find a better answer.
I don't even know how to intro after 4 weeks.
Did you forget how to?
Yeah. I don't... Help me.
How's your brain right now? You had a baby how long ago? And by you, I mean Sarah.
I think a month ago. Exactly a month ago.
Wow. Okay. Are you guys sleeping? Is the baby sleeping?
Yeah. I mean, like 3 hours at a time ish.
Okay.
Which is pretty good. Cool. If you stack together 2 3-hour times,
yeah,
that's just a bad night of sleep on a regular day.
Okay. Give us a review so far. How is it being a dad?
Like, can you just break it into categories? And I only use a 5-point scale.
No, we're going to go Amazon. Five stars is the best.
Oh, okay.
1 star.
Four.
Four. Okay.
4 out of 5.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I love spending time with him.
Yeah.
I love spending time with my wife. And that's like what we've gotten to do for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
The only time I'm not enjoying it is when he's upset and nothing else, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Or he won't sleep on his back, which is the only safe position for a baby to sleep in.
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that?
Well, it changes. So just give it a minute and it'll be back to their stomach. It's like they just flip them around. That's what it feels like to me. What? Somebody's going to listen to this podcast and be like, that's not true. Which
yeah, maybe.
I don't know. No, there's always
no baby advice.
But here's what I know. From when we had our first kid 13 years ago,
mm-hmm.
We had the 13 year ago, yep. Like state of the art. Yep. This is the best advice on babies. And yep. Now half of it's different.
Yeah,
so,
that
know.
Makes sense. So we were going to start by me showing you a photo and you giving me an honest answer out of 5. How cute is the baby?
Okay. I'm in on this. 100% in.
All right, you have
wait,
to be
wait,
honest.
Wait, first, how cute do you think your baby is?
I'd give him a 5.
5 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you have to be honest. If you're not honest, I'm clicking we're done with the episode.
Well, but what if I am honest and then everyone's like, Kyle sucks, I'm out. He's mean to kids.
I feel like it's a win-win for me.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. You probably do one either way. Okay, show me. He's a cute kid.
Yeah?
That's an actual cute baby.
You think so?
Yeah.
What do you give him?
Okay, well, let me turn it back around here.
Okay, all right. So.
I think there's a basic score
yeah.
for babies. There's like
mm-hmm.
a cuddliness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the number one trait you're looking for. You're not looking for like great yep. bone structure.
Yep.
You know, size doesn't matter. You want him to be small. He just looks cuddly.
He's extremely cuddly.
He looks like he could just, in any shape, you could probably football him
uh-huh.
really
oh,
well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily.
You could probably put him up on your chest really well. He's very versatile.
Prefers all of that over the bassinet.
I'm going to give him, let's say 4.7.
4.7? Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to round that up to a 5. Wow, you heard it here. Lead pastor of Crossroads says my baby's a 5 out of 5.
Well, I said 4.7, just for the record, and you rounded it
dang,
up.
Dang, I'm going to edit
okay,
that out.
When we had our first kid, God bless him. I hope he never listens to this, and please don't tell him. He's a great kid now. He's very handsome. When he was born, we were uh-huh. like, oh my gosh, he's so cute. Look at
really?
Our cute baby. Oh yeah. My gosh, we took all the pictures. And recently I went back and looked at baby photos.
Yep.
Holy crap, his
really?
Head's like a watermelon. Like, it's huge, like freakishly.
That's funny. That's funny.
Strange.
Yeah, that's
very
hilarious.
Big head. Shockingly big.
I mean, he's on his way to be smarter than you, right?
I thought he was the cutest thing. He probably is.
You know, he loves to like hide on the shoulder. Just like
oh,
my
yeah,
first week, so I'm showing him a photo of him on my shoulder and I was playing video games.
Yeah.
And so I was playing games against my friends.
Uh-huh.
I was winning. And so I sent him photos like, hey, I'm beating you with a newborn baby on my shoulder.
It's like a new level of taunting.
It is. It is.
Wow.
Are we going to address the fact that it's been a month?
I think you just did.
You're right. I had a baby. Sorry,
yeah.
guys. I was not prepared. He came early.
Yeah.
And there was even a podcast scheduled the week after that I really tried to make happen without me.
Yeah, and I was like, no. And Nick was like, I want you to talk about being a father. And I was like, oh, well, but you just became a father. We should wait until you're back.
Uh-huh.
And then we should talk about that together.
Yeah.
That's what we should do.
Oh, are we going to do it with Justin?
Yeah, we should hold off on that.
So we're holding off
Justin.
On it.
Yeah.
So definitely. Today, I want to talk about how do you discern between directions in life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me a scenario.
Well, we just talked about one.
Okay.
So let's say, I'm going to generalize it for privacy's sake.
Yep.
Let's say you're considering your degree.
Yep.
What degree are you going to go into for college?
Okay.
And you have a lot of good options. Some that make a lot of money, some that make no money or okay money. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like engineering versus art, like how do you choose?
Yeah.
Or you do what I did. We did design, which is both.
So like, right. Yeah. Yeah. I pick both. That's what I did.
Yep.
So how do I know, is the question, how do I know which direction God wants me to choose in life? There's a fork in the road in front of me.
Bless, just to de-spiritualize it just a little bit.
Yeah.
How do I know I'm going a good path for my life that God would be pleased with or like that would be fruitful? I know I could go a route that were like, let's say it fulfills everything I want, but is it what God wired me for? Let's say I become a lawyer and I have no wiring in me or desire even to be a lawyer, but I know it's going to make me a lot of money.
Yeah.
And like I actually heard Matt Chandler talk about this. He really wanted to be a lawyer because he wanted to make a lot of money. And God kept nudging him like, hey, no, I want you to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. And he didn't listen for a few years, but he knows now that it was the best route for him to go to be a pastor. And that he would not have been fulfilling to become a lawyer. So like we have limited knowledge of, we only see the present. God sees all of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he gets the benefit of like the directions,
yeah.
But we only have an inflection point. So I'm really asking, when you get to the inflection point, how do you discern the right direction?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And this is one of those spots where I think what people want is for God to be like the answer book, like the answer key. I mean, and no matter who you are, the answer is always the same.
I mean, what?
So think about it like a list of rules. People want to take the relationship out, I think a lot of cases, and just want the list of like, just give me the 10-point checklist that always applies to every person in every situation. And to continue on your example, that would mean like, so, you know, if you're thinking of getting a job that you don't love just because it makes a lot of money, the answer is always don't do that.
Why not?
I go, well
what if
what God wants you to do is make a lot of money?
Yeah. So then you take it.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you know?
It comes down to one word, and it's a word that, again, I think for independent-minded Americans, we don't want. We'd rather have a checklist we can operate on our own. Give me the 10 bullet points I can cycle through on my own without involving anybody else and make my own decision. That will never, ever work.
Well, what's the word? Discernment?
It's relationship.
Relationship.
Yeah, that's your one word.
Okay, I don't quite.
If you want to discern the right way to go, you have to become highly relational in your decision making. And I mean that in a couple of different directions. One, you have to approach God that way, not as the magic genie, not as the, let me find the answer that applies to everybody all the time.
You know what I've done to make my quiet time easier?
What?
So I took this magic eight ball
and
I said, hey, God, I'm just going to act like this is you for now on, and then I shake it up whenever I have a question, and I go with that.
Oh, there you go. Great job. No, don't do that. That's...
I'm kidding, that's, guys.
That was... Nick was making a joke based off my advice. So, but I think that's what we want, right? I really do think it's a helpful example because I think we want God to be the magic eight ball that just tells us the answer.
I mean, it'd be easier.
Or again, I think what we want is like, give me the 10... list of questions that I just filter my thing through, and then at the end of the 10 questions I know exactly what to do. And I would say that it does not work that way, because this is probably the most important thing, because every single one of us is different and we're made to have different functions. So the scripture I want to start with is Romans chapter 12, and we have to get this concept before we can possibly make headway on what direction someone should go or not.
Great.
Okay, Romans chapter 12. Let's start in verse 4. That's probably a good spot.
Okay.
It says this. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, then our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So this section basically says everybody is different. What does that mean? It means everybody is going to have a different answer. That's again why I say if you came up to a point and you said, man, there's this job. I would only take it to make a lot of money. Should I do it? I actually wouldn't say universally no. And people might expect me to say that as a pastor. Well, like, you know, isn't the love of money, isn't that horrible? And you can't serve God and money. And so why would you ever pick a job that just pays you a lot of money? Well, to what I just read, if your gift is generosity, to exercise that gift, God's going to put you in a position to just make a crap ton of money to give away. Well, I know very godly people who are in jobs that they would never say like, oh yeah, this is like the thing that just gives me life. I wake up every day and I just love it. But I would 100% tell you that they see in themselves the gift of generosity and the call to be generous. And so they are thankful for their job because their job lets them make a lot of money to be generous.
But isn't that convenient?
What do you mean?
You know, Kyle, I think I'm gifted in generosity. So do you mind quadrupling my salary?
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It doesn't work that way.
So my point is like...
what you might have to go do is a job that you don't love quite as much as this one so that you can make a whole lot of money. And that might be a beautiful sacrifice you made.
But, okay. But isn't it convenient then? Like for people to say like, hey, I don't believe this. I'm just kind of getting at something that like, it would be convenient for me to say, I'm gifted in generosity, so I need to make a lot of money, which also pays for a lot of these nice things.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
So, and I think for that, it would be a matter of the heart, right?
Yeah.
Again, like God doesn't want you to love money, whether you are poor or rich.
Yeah. And this is where I'd use our operative word of relationship in another sense. So it's relationship with God.
Yep.
And that looks like, God, help me understand how you've made me. Help me understand my own motivations. The Bible says we cannot understand our own hearts.
Okay. It
says that, I think, in Jeremiah. Man does not understand his own heart. Okay?
Okay.
So you got to ask God to help you understand it. And then this is where relationship with other people becomes really, really important.
Okay.
And the questions that you want to take them are things pertaining to this section of scripture that I just read. Hey, the Bible says that there's a bunch of different people with a bunch of different gifts. And I'm thinking about, my goal is to exercise those gifts as much as possible. What should I do? What gifts do you think I have?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A lot of people are delusional about the gifts they think that they have.
Yeah.
And they think they have one that they don't. And they don't think they have one that they do. That's what I find all the time. Okay. And so it takes the rest of the body to call out those gifts, which, you know, again, for me, my standpoint, my view on reality in the world, I go, if I'm making a decision which direction to go in life, I sure do want to know how God made me.
Yeah.
So I have some idea what the purpose of me is in this bigger context of the world so that I pick the direction that lines up with whatever that is.
Okay. So side thing.
Yeah.
For us too and those listening, I think— to be in a humble position where we're willing to find out what our gifts are is very important. Because if you are bent on a gift being your gift that's not your gift and you don't know that, you're going to cause pain in you and those around you until you are able and ready to accept whatever God did gift you with.
Yeah.
And it's hard to interact. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking blindly. Do you think I'm fairly... do you think I look at my gifts accurately?
Mostly.
Mostly.
I think you're looking at them more accurately than you were a year ago.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
But would you say I'm in a position to learn correctly? By correctly,
like you can learn more?
No, like I actually want to know what is real.
Yes.
Okay.
You totally
I think that's the important part because we're going to spend our whole life.
I think you're excellent at that. I think you come in with questions all the time. Sometimes they're recorded on this podcast and sometimes before we start rolling or after or some other day of the week.
Uh-huh.
But you're constantly seeking insight
as
to who you are, what you're made for, and what might be next for you.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly the way to go. I think here's another piece of advice related to this question of, you know, how do I know which direction to go? I would say don't wait until the moment. to start asking the questions. Yeah. That's you're not too late, but like, man, you're playing catch up. It's almost like when you, hey, I want to retire at 65. Awesome. You should start saving money at 25. Don't wait until you're 64. That's too late. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think some people get to these moments of decision in their life and they're running on empty. It's like, oh, you're missing this wealth of insight that you could have had if you start cultivating it now. So for everybody listening, I'd say regardless of whether you think there's a change God wants you to make in your life right now, regardless of whether you see a fork in your road, ask these questions now. Go to people who know you. Ask in prayer, God, what are my giftings? What are my wirings? How am I made to function? This Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. Go, okay, well, God, what's the grace you've given me? And what this means in this context, by the way, is that there are things that you're able to do way more effectively and naturally and almost without thought than everybody else around you. And you don't know that it takes significantly less effort for you than everybody else. You think everybody, it's this easy for everybody else, but it's not. And that's why you need those other people to start to go, what are those things? And then you leverage them. And this is a lot of what I spend my time, by the way, as a leader here. When I do one-on-ones with direct reports or anybody else who works in CrossFit staff who wants to come and talk to me, which I try to keep as accessible as I possibly can to anybody who wants to... Hey, come ask me a question about life or what you're thinking about or whatever. And oftentimes what I find myself doing is calling out gifts I see in them as gifts and going like, hey, do you know that's really, really good? I was talking to a friend this morning here at work and called out to him Matthew 5:9, I think, that says, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. And this guy was lamenting that he's like, I need to go make peace in this situation and get these two people to, you know, listen to each other because I think they're saying the same thing, whatever it was. And I was just like, hey, do you realize that's a gift God has given you?
Right.
And right now, I don't think you understand how good you are at that, how valuable it is to the rest of us here, how valuable it is to God. I mean, in the Sermon on the Mount, you just go through that. Try to find a higher blessing on any of the categories of people that he calls out. He calls out people like the meek and the poor in spirit. Any better thing than you will be called a son of God.
Like,
it's this enormous honor that he bestows. And I was like, dude, you've got the gift. This is actually, don't run from those situations, run into those situations, because we need you and you're great at it. And it comes so much easier than every other person. That's what I mean by understanding. You know, who you are and the gifts God's given you. And if you understand that, then you get to the fork in the road or the inflection point in your life, and you're like miles ahead of the game.
So we are going to the core of this because we call this a better answer, and usually the better answer is not the quicker answer, unfortunately.
Correct.
And I agree, like, knowing who you are is extremely helpful and beneficial because if you get a job offer and has nothing to do with how God wired you, you probably need to say no. Even if it's beneficial in a, like, for money or time or notoriety, et cetera. And if there's a less, you know, desirable job that completely lines up with God, what God has for you, it maybe is the better one to choose, right? By the way, my example has nothing to do with the job. It's just easy to talk about. So my question is, how do I find people who will be truthful and honest and loving? Because, like, there are people who I should not trust with this question. How do I find? And so this actually is combined with, there's not enough time, Kyle. Like, what you're suggesting is too freaking long. I want to make a decision right now. I think I know what I want. And, like, I feel that pretty strongly. So, like, why should I slow down? Talk to people, figure out my gifts. Like, that's, first of all, that one can take years to figure out. So time and then people.
I mean, I think, you know, sorry. A better answer is the real answer. And the real answer is you'll make better decisions in your life when you've carefully cultivated close relationships with wise people.
I agree.
You just will.
Yeah.
And if the thing is like how to make the best decisions, then you carefully cultivate close relationships with wise people well before you need them for a decision in your life. If you get to that moment, again, it's like retirement. Oh, crap. I'm 64. I want to retire at 65. I don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
You can probably save a little bit of money in the next year, but probably not enough to retire. You know what I mean? Like, you want wisdom to make a big decision? Well, you can probably find somebody who's willing to talk to you. You can probably hire a counselor. They're great. They're not going to really know you or have a depth of wisdom or insight about you.
Yeah.
So you've got to cultivate that now. And the way you cultivate it, again, this is the better answer, which is the real answer, not the easy answer. It takes a lot of time.
Yep.
Takes a lot of sacrifice. Takes a lot of effort.
Yeah.
Takes a lot of starts and stops. Takes a lot of failure. Takes a lot of go to a group, didn't click with anybody, go to another group. Didn't click with anybody, go to another group. Click with three people. That's how it works.
Yeah.
You got to put in the work to get the to get the connections. And then and the other part of that I wouldn't diminish too is ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are you asking God for wise people in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, I think he will bring them your way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what's beautiful about what you called out, and maybe this is the most important thing to this topic, we're trying to answer specifically about the inflection point.
Yeah.
But this is so wrapped into foundational things, identity, people who love Jesus who can speak into it, foundational things. And I think it really comes down to Jesus said he brings life to the full, right?
Yeah.
Do you believe that? If no, then, I mean, well, I mean, there's not much we can help you with except, like, we do think that Jesus brings life to the full.
Yeah.
And we'd love for you to find that out for yourself. But if you believe that Jesus brings life to the full, he has, the way he lived has foundational things for us that we will experience fruit and benefit if we follow him, right? It's like he was close with 12 disciples.
Mm-hmm.
I think to model like a close relationship. Like if you have a problem, talk to somebody else in that group, right?
Yeah.
You have built trusted relationships with 12 people.
Yep.
And so I think I'm trying to make a point that following Jesus, we can over-spiritualize it. Like maybe if I just, and there's moments for this, like you sit and you pray and you listen to God, but we over-spiritualize like maybe if I just sit here, like a leaf will fall. And when the leaf falls, I will know God's calling me that direction.
Right.
But there's the other side of ownership. Jesus actually lived on this planet, and he had a way that he did that. Are we modeling that, or are we avoiding that?
Yeah.
And if we're avoiding that, we're going to lose out on the fruit of some of this, and decisions will be foggier or unclear because we haven't built those relationships.
Yeah. Totally.
So maybe that's, I don't know if that's a digression. Hopefully it adds to it. But does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So let's how do we wrap this up?
I have an idea.
Okay.
One word. If you want to follow God, you must invest in relationships. Must.
Mm-hmm.
And if this sounds like a broken record on this podcast, like, here you guys go again, talking about relationships and people and whatever. Like, well, sorry, that is the ball game.
Yeah.
That is A through Z.
Right.
That is the entire picture.
Yeah.
There is no other picture. There are plenty of spiritualities you can find that do not require you to invest in relationships near to the degree of Christianity.
Yeah.
But Christianity, in my view, is the real one.
Yeah.
And it's because it focuses on relationships from A to Z, from God's relationship to us and desire for relationship to us, to his command. You know, no greater command is this than love the Lord God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. It's like this super simple kindergarten level thing. Like you gotta invest in relationships all the way through. Otherwise, you'll be pretty lost.
Yeah. So how do I take this home with me if I'm a listener? No, it doesn't have to be small. Just a real step for me to take care of, like, okay, I want to go this direction.
Yeah, I would say, one, look for a spot to find relationships.
Yes.
And, you know, like here at Crossroads, it's jump into a volunteer team somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You could join a small group too. That could, you can find people there, but just like there's people everywhere.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that I love about Crossroads Church. I think there's so many people who are part of this community. There's about 50,000 unique people every month.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who you're going to click with is here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to set out to find them though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to find your group of people, but there's loads of opportunities. So one, like do something.
Mm-hmm.
Something is better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait until you've got the perfect thing figured out. Just like jump in and start doing something somewhere with people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then two, you know, if you are at that point of an inflection and decision in your life where you do have to make a left or right choice and you don't have people in your life, well, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Reach out to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You can email me. Mm-hmm. Can email Nick, mm-hmm. can email any of our pastors at Crossroads, and we would love to help you and listen. We'll probably ask lots of questions to try to get to know you.
Right.
So you're going to have to be willing to be vulnerable and answer some questions.
Yeah.
But we'd love to help.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There you go.
And I would encourage the person listening who's, this is what I experienced when I was younger. You have people around you who would probably be really good to invest in, but nobody's doing anything about it. Be the person who's actually reaching out.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably thinking the same thing. We all feel a little awkward. We all feel like we shouldn't really ask.
Yeah.
But you can be that person. And I've experienced so much fruit from that. I love my friends. They're amazing friends, and they help me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't do life without them.
There you go. Love it.
Well, we're back. Justin will be on soon. We're going to talk about fatherhood.
Yeah.
Yep. So we love you guys. We will see you next week.
Bye.